الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين سلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace and send His blessings and salutations upon the final messenger, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First and foremost, I would like to apologize for being absent the last couple of weeks. I had some business to take care of, and I failed in sending an SMS at least to notify you. I was out of town. Not an excuse, actually. It's my laziness. Not really a real excuse, but inshallah you'll forgive me. Anyways, we continue with our discussion on Mukhtasar ibn Hajj al-Qasidin ibn Qudam al-Maqdisi alayhi rahmatullah. And we had stopped at the chapter dealing with the mode of recitation. Right? What does the title say in your book? Adab al-Tilawah. Can you translate that? Aywa. The etiquettes of recitation. Nah. He says, rahimahullah, وَيُسْتَحَبُّ تَحْسِينُ الْقِرَاءَ وَإِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ حَسَنُ الصَّوْتِ حَسَّنَهُ مَا اسْتَطَعَ فأما القراءة بالألحان فقد كريهها السلف رحمهم الله. It is recommended that you beautify your recitation, you beautify your voice in the Quran. Of course, I'm not an example. Okay. do not reflect on what was happening earlier. Huh? I'm not an example to be followed. على كل حال, and if you don't have this natural skill or talent, some people, mashallah, once they recite the Quran, khalas, you just have to listen. And others, they don't have this talent. It's a talent that Allah Azza wa Jalla gives to whomever He wills. If you don't have it, it doesn't mean we give up. It does not mean that you give up. You have to strive and work on improving your recitation, improving your voice. It doesn't have to be that your voice is naturally beautiful. As for reciting in the melodious notes, musical notes, that's what they mean by alhan, then this is something that the righteous predecessors disliked. And of course, it's very prevalent today, where, you know, people will have like a hafla, they call it haflat Quran, and then you have a person reciting, and then a group of people listening, and at the end of each ayah, they express their happiness. Allah, 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 ya Shaykh, something like that, right? And the funny thing is that sometimes the Shaykh will be reciting an ayah about Jahannam, al-iyadu billah. You know, something that you shouldn't be very happy about, and people still, mashallah, mashallah, ya Shaykh. The context is one. So there's no such thing, yani, where you have a hafla and you have an audience and they react with the reciter. This is not something that our righteous predecessors were involved in, per se. He said, وَيُسْتَحَبُّ الْإِسْرَارَ بِالْقِرَاءَةِ وَقَدْ جَاءَ فِي حَدِيثٍ فَضْلُ قِرَاءَةِ السِّرِّ عَلَى قِرَاءَةِ الْعَلَانِيَةِ كَفَضْلِ صَدَقَةِ السِّرِّ عَلَى صَدَقَةِ الْعَلَانِيَةِ إِلَّا أَنَّهُ يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يُسْمِعَ نَفْسَهُ. And this hadith is, inshallah, sanadahu sahih. And it is recommended that you recite secretly. Yani you do not raise your voice in the recitation. Of course, unless you're the imam. This is when you're reading by yourself. It has been mentioned in one hadith that the virtue of reciting silently over reciting publicly is equal to the virtue of giving sabaka secretly versus giving sabaka publicly. Now you know, if you want to give sabaka, which one is better? The one which no one knows about but Allah Azza wa Jal. Unless you are someone who is an example for others, and so you take the initiative to be the first to give sabaka, because you know that when the people see you give sabaka, they will therefore give sabaka. And in that particular case, you giving sabaka publicly is better than doing it secretly, because you are the causer of good amongst others. However, when one reads, he should at least make himself hear. And of course, the people who recite without moving their lips, they have not recited. And this is a common problem we have. We have this problem not only in the Quran. We have people in Salah. who stand in salah like this. Nothing. Where's your Fatiha? In my heart. La ya Shaykh. The Fatiha which is in your heart will stay in your heart. You did not recite the Fatiha. Recitation, qira'ah, requires moving of the lips. You have to move your lips. You have to read the words. You have to read them loudly. Loudly enough for you to hear yourself. Not to disturb the person next to you. But if one is reading without moving one's lips, then one has not recited according to the ulama. Therefore, the salah is invalid. And if one is reciting the Quran by just the eyes, he's reading with his eyes without moving the lips, he is not considered to have read the Quran. He may have understood the message in there, but the hadith about each harf is equal to ashr hasanat. La aqulu alif la mim harf, walakin alifun harfun, walamun harfun, wamimun harf. For the person to get the ajr of this particular hadith and other hadith, one has to move the lips. La aqulu alif la mim. I don't say. You have to say it. Otherwise, if I looked at you, and I in my heart I said to you, brother, please pay attention. And I just said, what? I have to move my lips to communicate the message to you. Looking doesn't do the job. Looking doesn't do the job. We have to move our lips in the recitation. He said, وَلَا بَأْسَ بِالْجَهْرِ فِي بَعْدِ الْأَوْقَاتِ لِمَقْصُودٍ صَحِيحٍ إِمَّا لِتَجْوِيدِ الْحِفْظِ أَوْ لِيَصْرِفَ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ الْكَسَلَ وَالنَّوْمِ أَوْ لِيُوقِظَ الْوَسْنَانِ. And there's no harm in raising the voice at times for a proper objective, such as if you're trying to perfect your memorization. And some people, by the way, can memorize without reading loudly, and others cannot memorize unless they read loudly. They have to hear themselves. So if you're doing it to hear yourself in order for you to memorize, that's one of the good objectives and reasons. Or if you're feeling lazy or sleepy and you want to get rid of that drowsiness, then when you're reciting loud, you kind of wake yourself up. Yeah? Many people do this when they're driving a long distance and they get sleepy, they roll down the windows and turn up the Quran, right? They don't turn up anything else, I hope, on the radio, right? Or they start speaking to themselves, or they start calling people on the phone, and you try to keep yourself busy by saying things. Huh? I hope you don't sing or anything like that. أَوْ لِيُقِذَ الْوَسْنَانِ. Or to wake up someone who's himself is sleepy. Someone next to you, raise your voice to wake him up, maybe for tahajjud or something of the sort. فَأَمَّا حُكْمُ الْقِرَاءَةِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ وَمِقْدَارُ مَا يَقْرَأُ فِي صَلَاةِ الْفَرْضِ وَمَوْضِعِ الْجَهْرِ وَالْإِسْرَارِ فَذَلِكَ مَعْرُوفٌ مَشْهُورٌ فِي كُتُبْ الْفِقْهِ. As for the ruling on reciting in the salah, which I already shared with you, or the amount which you are expected to recite in the fard. Let's make a quick pop question here. Quiz, pop quiz. Pop quiz, everybody likes them. I mean, everybody hates them. young man, if in Salat al-Isha or Maghrib, whatever, the Imam recited only Surah Al-Fatiha, then he made ruku'ah. Is his salah valid or invalid? Huh? Invalid? Only Fatiha. Invalid? Okay, we have a new mufti in the masjid. Anyone else would like to give fatwa? It's okay, it's not considered a fatwa because I asked you. Anyone else? Okay, who's with him? Raise your hand. Who thinks the salah is invalid? Imam in both rak'at. In four rak'at, he only recited Fatiha, 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 Fatiha. Nothing else. Who says the salah is invalid? Raise your hand. Only one? Who says the salah is valid? Raise your hand. MashaAllah. Huh? And there are some people who are neither this nor that. These are the sleepy ones, huh? Tayyib, what do you guys think? Anything beyond Al-Fatiha is simply recommended. Recommended. You could. But do we say do it? No. Why? Because the sunnah of the Prophet is that he would recite something. But then we have from other narrations when he taught other people that he said the one where he made obligatory is that لا صلاة لمن يقرأ بأم الكتاب مثلا إحدى الأحاديث. There's no salah for the one who doesn't recite the mother of the book. If reciting another surah was also obligatory, he would have mentioned عليه الصلاة والسلام. So the fact that he emphasized the Fatiha, excluding others, makes the others fall under the recommended. But an imam may do this occasionally to educate his followers, to educate the ma'mumin, because some people will panic after the salah, say, Shaykh, salah is invalid. He said, no, it is. And he will teach them. But of course, you have to also know your crowd, because some people just, it will not register. يعني, even if you tell him the hadith and the ulama say, la 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 abad, repeat the salah. خلاص, because he's used to that, he has to have it. So this is where you have to, you know, like another recitation. A valid recitation of Fatiha is Maliki Yawm al-Din. You have Maliki Yawm al-Din, this is one qira'ah. And you have a valid, authentic qira'ah from the Prophet ﷺ, Maliki Yawm al-Din. The king of the day of recompense. So it's actually mustahab for you when you're praying on your own to use both. In one rak'ah you read Malik, and the other rak'ah you read Malik. Why? To revive the sunnah, both were narrated from the Prophet ﷺ. However, nowadays, if the imam were to do this, they would say the imam doesn't know the Fatiha. After the salah, they say, Ya Imam. And I saw this on YouTube. One of the big mashayikh was reciting in a different qira'at, warsh, in different ones. So someone said, beautiful qira'ah, but he doesn't know the Fatiha. He said, Maliki Yawm al-Din. Of course, 20 people replied to him, showed him that he doesn't know what he's talking about. But this is what would happen today. The imam would be accused of being jahil. He doesn't know how to recite. But the truth of the matter is, the imam knows and the guy doesn't know. So to avoid this fitna, you keep reciting Malik. Until such time when you have taught the people, and khalas, everybody knows, there's no fitna involved, then you should actually recite both in the salah. This is, inshallah, if you become the imam of the masjid, you will know how to go about it. He said further, وَمَنْ كَانَ عِنْدَهُ مُصْحَفٍ. Is that what it says with you? وَمَنْ كَانَ عِنْدَهُ مُصْحَفٍ يَنْبَغِي لَهُ أَنْ يَقْرَأَ فِيهِ كُلَّ يَوْمْ آيَاتٍ يَسِيرَةٍ لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ مَهْجُورًا. Subhanallah. Allah المستعان. And whosoever has a mushaf, because maybe some people didn't have a mushaf. Now each one of us has like 5, 6. This is besides the digital one and the one on your phone and the one on I don't know what. He said it is expected or incumbent on him to read a few ayat on daily basis in order for the Quran to be, in his case, mahjura. From where did he get this idea? Who knows? Who knows the book of Allah? From where did he get this idea? Why did he use this term mahjura? And why did he say you should recite every day? MashaAllah, tabarakallah. I want the ayah, I don't want the number. Give me the ayah. No one knows the ayah? وقال الرسول يا رب إن قوم اتخذوا هذا القرآن مهجورا. And Allah described that the Prophet ﷺ would complain, oh my Lord, verily my people have taken this Quran as something which is abandoned. They have abandoned the Quran. Even though this ayah, as the ulama say, is in reference to the Qurayshis who disbelieved in him, ﷺ, they abandoned the Quran. The scholars understood from the text itself, from the wording, that anyone who actually abandons the Quran shares this guilt, a segment of this guilt, even though it is in essence referring to those who rejected him, ﷺ. على كل حال وينبغي let me just change one thing here because it keeps shutting off. معليش. بسم الله. نعم. وينبغي لتالي القرآن العظيم أن ينظر كيف لطف الله تعالى بخلقه في إيصال معاني كلامه إلى فهامهم وأن يعلم أن ما يقرأه ليس من كلام البشر. It is upon the one who's reciting the glorious Quran or the great Quran to reflect on the kindness of Allah Azza wa Jal when it comes to the way He conveys the meanings through the words He chooses. The choice of words through which the meaning is delivered. Because the words are like a vehicle of transportation to deliver a meaning. That's the objective of the words. And the person who reads should realize that what he is actually reading is not the speech of creatures. It's not the speech of humans. This is not Kalamul Bashar. Because we have people at the time of the Prophet ﷺ who said that this is nothing but the speech of Bashar. And what did Allah say in regards to that? سَنُصْلِهِ سَقَرْ. Just because of that claim. Hey. وَأَنْ يَسْتَحْضِرَ عَظَمَةَ الْمُتَكَلِّمِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَيَتَدَبَّرَ كَلَامَهُ. And you should bring to mind, the person reading should bring to mind the greatness of the speaker, which is Allah Azza wa Jal. And you should reflect upon the speech of the speaker. فَإِنَّ التَّدَبُّرَ هُوَ الْمَقْصُودُ مِنَ الْقِرَاءَ أَوْ هُوَ الْمَقْصُودُ مِنَ الْقِرَاءَ. Because تَدَبُّر is reflection, is pondering. This is what is intended behind the recitation. The real objective of the Quran is to know the meaning. For example, you can be reading Surah Taha. Okay, let's just give an example of tadabbur. Something that you can pick out on your own without the tafasir, without the ulama. You read in the Quran and you read the story of Musa and Harun. So, later on in the surah, after Allah spoke to Musa directly, عليه الصلاة والسلام, then Musa went on to say, قَالَ رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَحْلُ الْعُقْدَةً مِّن لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي وَجَعْلْ لِي وَزِيرًا مِّنْ أَهْلِي هَارُونَ أَخِي أُشْتُدْ بِهِ أَزْرِي وَأَشْرِكُهُ فِي أَمْرِي بَيْتًا شَنَوْا كَيْ نُسَبِّحَكَ كَثِيرًا وَنَذْكُرَكَ كَثِيرًا إِنَّكَ كُنْتَ بِنَا بَصِيرًا. طيب. So the three reasons why Musa asked Allah Azza wa Jal to send Harun with him is so that we can mention you, we can remember you abundantly, and we can glorify you. كَيْ نُسَبِّحَكَ كَثِيرًا وَنَذْكُرَكَ كَثِيرًا. So we can glorify you and we can mention you abundantly. Verily you are ever watcher, a watcher over us. What was the next ayah? قَالَ قَدْ أُوتِيتَ سُؤْلَكَ يَا مُوسَى. Verily you have been given the request which you requested, O Musa. So you're reading, if you reflect on it, you will understand that if you're going out to give da'wah, then among the things that you want to do is you want to remember Allah Azza wa Jal a lot. And you want to glorify. Tasbih is not only saying Subhanallah, it's actually conveying the message of Tawheed to the people. Because tasbih is to raise Allah above any imperfection or any defect. So to convey the asma and sifat, this is part of tasbih. كَيْ نُسَبِّحَكَ كَثِيرًا وَنَذْكُرَكَ كَثِيرًا. And then knowing that Allah Azza wa Jal is watcher over you, meaning having taqwa of Allah, these three combinations will make your dua accepted. You do these three and Allah Azza wa Jal will accept your dua. Because the sequence of the ayat is like that. This is where the scholars say, this is not a tafsir. This is what tadabbur, this is what each one of us is able to deduce from the Quran if he were to read with the meaning. Or you were to pause at the end of the ayat. Or you try to connect the ayat. Versus just let me, as we usually do. We begin the surah, then we want to see the end of the surah. Huh? How many pages I have left to finish the surah? The Quran, the objective of the Quran, it was revealed for tadabbur, for reflection, for pondering. Allah musta'an. وَإِنْ لَمْ يَحْصُلِ التَّدَبُّرِ إِلَّا بِتِرْدَادِ الْآيَةِ فَلْيُرَدِّدْهَا. If the reflection or the pondering cannot be obtained or achieved except through repetition, then repeat the ayah. فَقَدْ رَوَى أَبُو ذَرٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّهُ قَامَ لَيْلَةً بِآيَةٍ يُرَدِّدُهَا. Abu Dharr narrated that the Prophet ﷺ spent the whole night praying, repeating only one ayah. You see that? The whole night repeating one ayah. Not one surah, not one juz. One ayah. Which is the ayah, فَإِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكْ. If you punish them, then verily they are your slaves. And if you forgive them, then you are the one who's full of might. The most forgiving, the full of might. Sahih? Nah. So this is at the end of Surah Al-Ma'idah. Well, this is in the context of Isa alayhi salam and so on and so forth. Ala kulli hal, the Prophet alayhi salam spent the whole night reflecting on this ayah. Reflecting on the greatness of his ayah. وقام تميم الداري بآية وهي قوله أم حسب الذين اجترحوا السيئات أن نجعلهم كالذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات. Another one spent the whole night reciting the ayah. Do they think that we will treat those who commit the sins like those who believe and do righteous deeds, that they will be the same in this life and in the life to come? سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ. What an evil, what an incorrect way of making judgment. Erroneous way of making judgment, that Allah Azza wa Jal will not treat these people the same, not in the dunya nor in the akhirah. And each one of us can see this in himself. And we commit sins and we see the result of the sins very soon. Things were working out for you, all of a sudden goes down. Work was okay, next thing you know, you had the best relationship with your boss, the next day you're fighting with him. I mean, what happened? Everything was good. It's because of some sins we might have committed. So there's an outcome for that in the dunya and in the akhirah. If, of course, if someone suffers in the dunya, then he doesn't have to suffer in the akhirah unless Allah wills otherwise. وَكَذَلِكَ قَامَ بِهَا الرَّبِيعُ بْنُ خَيْثَمَ اللَّيْلَ. Also another one of the tabi'een spent the whole night reciting this ayah. وَيَنْبَغِي لِلتَّالِي أَنْ يَسْتَوْضِحَ مِنْ كُلِّ آيَةٍ مَا يَلِيقُ بِهَا. The reciter should also try to get the clarification in regards to each ayah, that which is relevant to it. وَيَتَفَهَمْ ذَلِكَ. And he should comprehend that. فَإِذَا تَلَى قَوْلَهُ تَعَالَى خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. How many times do we read that? He created the heavens and the earth. فَلْيَعْلَمْ عَظَمَتَهُ وَتَيَلَمَّحْ قُدْرَتَهُ فِي كُلِّ مَا يَرَهُ. So then know the greatness of Allah, and then also observe his ability and his omnipotence everywhere or wherever you look. Because Allah created the heavens and the earth, which is a magnificent creation. If you just go to the ocean, don't go far. Go to the ocean, Obhur. If you fish or you dive, and go under the water and see what kind of world is going on there. A world that is completely, completely different than ours. Maintained. I mean, fish don't breathe air. They don't breathe air. They live under the water, yes. Which one of us can stay under the water so long? But this is their life. A whole other world, this is only under one water, according to what you see. This is within the al-ard, which is around us, and the sama', the nearest one to us. If you were to go on through the seven heavens and the seven earths, Allahu A'lam what's there. Allahu A'lam what's there. وَإِذَا تَلَى أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تُمْنُونَ. What is the next ayah? أَأَنْتُمْ تَخْلُقُونَهُ أَمْ نَحْنُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Do you see you know what that, does anyone know, before I actually translate, does anyone know what this ayah means? By any chance? أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تُمْنُونَ. Spread? Sperm. Sahih, sperm? Aywa. From mani. Al mani is the sperm, the semen. So, afara'aytum ma tumnoon. Do you see the semen which you shoot out? That's what it means. The semen which men produce. Antum takhluqunahu am nahnu al-khaliqun. Are you the one who created or are we the creators? And what is the answer? Allah is the creator. Now you cannot make your own. Whatever you have, Allah made. There's no control. So the actual sperm which winds up fertilizing the egg and the woman and so on and so forth, all this is the management of who? Of Allah Azza wa Jal. You have no control. Now you just do what you do. But all the rest, the technicalities and the things which are beyond human ability are all in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. Natural occurrence. No doctors and no hospitals and no, artificial, all this kind of stuff which they're trying to invent now. And how difficult was it for them to come up with this artificial way of having women get pregnant? In before, and in asl, it's Allah Azza wa Jal. Even their plans will often fail. People get confused, don't know who their fathers are. You don't want to do that. Sperm banks, huh? Allah musta'an. He said, فَلْيَتَفَكَّرْ فِي نُطْفَةٍ مُتَشَبِهَةِ الْأَجْزَاءِ كَيْفَ تَنْقَسِمُ إِلَى لَحْمٍ وَعَظْمٍ وَعِرْقٍ وَعَصَبٍ وَأَشْكَالٍ مُخْتَلِفَةٍ مِنْ رَأْسٍ وَيَدٍ وَرِجْلٍ ثُمَّ إِلَى مَا ظَهَرَ فِيهَا مِنَ الصِّفَاتِ الشَّرِيفَةِ كَالسَّمْعِ وَالْبَصَرِ وَالْعَقْلِ وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَأَمَّلْ هَذِهِ الْعَجَائِبِ. He said, let him then reflect on this semen, this drop of semen, not even a drop, nutfa, huh? Which, if you were to look at it in a microscope, it's a single body. It looks the same. It doesn't have any limbs. However, how does it? This one thing becomes flesh, and it becomes bones. Bones, bones, not easy to break. Before, what was it? Did it have any bone in it? It was nothing. Subhanallah. From this thing, a creature with bones, with flesh, with nerves and veins, and then further development until there's a head and there's a hand and there's a foot, and then further development until the noble limbs or the noble senses, the hearing, the seeing, the speech, the intellect, and other than that. So reflect on these amazing things. Now we don't reflect on these amazing things, but they are actually worthy of reflection. This is so amazing. Subhanallah. وَإِذَا تَلَى أَحْوَالَ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ فَلْيَشْعُرُ الْخَوْفَ مِنَ الصَّطْوَةِ إِذَا غَفَلَ عَنْ امْتِثَالِ الْأَمْرِ. And when we read the affair of the beliars, those who deny, let this person feel fear that he may be overcome if he becomes heedless regarding the commands of Allah. وَلْيَتَخَلَّ التَّالِي مِنْ مَوَانِعِ الْفَهِمِ. And the one who's reciting should avoid any preventives, anything which may prevent comprehension, anything which will distract you from understanding. مثل أن يخيل الشيطان إليه أنه ما حقق تلاوة الحرف ولا أخرجه من مخرجه. Like the shaitan coming to a person and telling him, no, you really did not pronounce this letter properly. And it did not come out, it did not articulate this letter in the ultimate sense. فَيَصْرِفْ هِمَّتَهُ عَنْ فَهْمِ الْمَعْنَى. So this person's complete attention is now not towards understanding, it's towards مخارج الحروف. And this is the fitna. This is the fitna for the one reciting on his own or for the imam. Some people are over-obsessed. And Ibn Jawzi, in his book of Makaid al-Shaytan, or about the shaytans, among the way he tricks and he traps the Qurra is their over-emphasis on this tajweed. Tajweed is fine, but the makhraj al-harf, and that everything is pronounced properly. Now, of course, if you learn properly, it becomes natural. So there's no takalluf, there's no over-exerting yourself. Alhamdulillah, you just say the words the way they're supposed to say. Supposed to be said. But if someone is losing interest in the meaning and his whole concern is, did I say this properly or did I not say properly? And the whole time he's thinking about idgham and ikhfa and idhar, you will miss out on the objective of the Quran. You will miss out on the objective of the Quran. You know, that has its time, but the reason for reading is not that, ultimately. ومن ذلك أن يكون التالي مصرا على ذنب أو متصفا بكبر والعياذ بالله. Or among the reasons which may distract someone from understanding and comprehension is someone who insists on some sin. This person insists on a particular sin he doesn't let go of. Or he may be characterized with arrogance or pride. أو مبتلا بهوى مطاع. Or he's inflicted with some desires that he obeys blindly. فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ سَبَبَ ظُلْمَةِ الْقَلْبِ وَصَدُّهُ. This is a reason of the darkness of the heart and it becoming rotten. فَهُوَ كَالْجَرْبِ عَلَى الْمِرْآةِ. So it's like putting a mirror, putting a sock, like a cover over the mirror. You can no longer see. يَمْنَعْ مِنْ تَجَلِّ الْحَقِّ. It prevents the clarification of the truth. فَالْقَلْبُ مِثْلُ الْمِرْآةِ. Then the heart is like the mirror. The heart is like the mirror. وَالشَّهَوَاتُ مِثْلَ الصَّدَى. And the desires are like that. What's the word صَدَى? It's like when, you know, the metal. No, ya Sheikh. That reddish stuff that comes on iron. Rust. Jazakumullah khair. Rust, mashallah, tabarakallah. So the desires are like rust. وَمَعَانِ الْقُرْآنِ مِثْلُ الصُّوَرِ الَّتِي تَتَرَاءَ فِي الْمِرْآةِ. MashaAllah. And the meanings of the Qur'an are like images which are appearing on this mirror. وَالرِّيَاضَ لِلْقَلْبِ بِإِمَاطَةِ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِثْلِ جَلَاءِ الْمِرْآةِ. And then exercising, getting rid of desires is like cleaning and wiping this mirror. Making sure that it's crystal clear so that when the Qur'an is being recited, the meanings appear clearly, they reflect clearly, so there's nothing which preventing them from being understood. Beautiful analogy, mashallah. وَيَنْبَغِي لِتَالِي الْقُرْآنِ أَنْ يَعْلَمَ أَنَّهُ مَقْصُودٌ بِخِطَابِ الْقُرْآنِ وَوَعِيدٍ. And the one who is reciting the Quran should bring to mind that he is actually a recipient. He is intended to receive this and the threats. يعني don't read, oh, this is about them and about them and about them. This is about me. When you read the Quran, say, Allah is speaking to me. Don't worry about the rest of the creatures. Each one brings to mind that this is an address to me. So when Allah says, Ya ayyuhal nas, u'budu rabbakum, or Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, ila akhri, then know that the speech is being directed to yourself. وَأَنَّ الْقَصَصَ لَمْ يَرِدْ بِهَا السَّمَرْ بَلِ الْعِبَرْ. And the stories which are mentioned in the Quran is not merely for staying up and for wasting time. It's for lessons, for morals behind it, the morale behind the stories. فَلْيَتَنَبَّهْ لِذَلِكَ فَحِينَئِذٍ يَتْلُو تِلَاوَةَ عَبْدٍ كَاتِبَهُ سَيِّدَهُ بِمَقْصُودٍ. So then when you bring this to mind, you'll be able to recite the Quran like a slave who knows that his master wrote a letter to him intending him. لِيَتَأَمَّلِ الْكِتَابِ. So let him reflect on the book. وَيَعْمَلْ بِمُقْتَضَهُ. And act accordingly. فَإِنَّ مَثَلِ الْعَاصِ إِذَا قَرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ وَكَرَّرَهُ مِثَالُ مَنْ كَرَّرَ كِتَابَ الْمَلِكِ وَعَرَضَ عَنْ عِمَارَةِ مَمْلَكَتِهِ وَمَا أَمَرَهُ فِيهِ فِي الْكِتَابِ وَأَمَرَهُ بِهِ فِي الْكِتَابِ. Because the sinner, if he continues to read the Quran and repeat what is being said in the Quran, he will be like a person who receives a letter from the king, yet he continues to ignore the instructions of the king in that letter. And the king was telling him to build the construction. And he reads it over and over again, but he doesn't build anything with it. فَهُوَ مُقْتَصِرٌ عَلَى دِرَسَتِهِ. So the only thing he's busy with is study. He studied the letter of the king, but he didn't do anything in terms of implementation. مُخَالِفًا أَوَامِرِهِ وَالْعِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And he's against the commands, going against the commands of the Quran. فَلَوْ تَرَكَ الدِّرَاسَ مَعَ الْمُخَالَفَ كَانَ أَبْعَدْ مِنَ الْإِسْتِهْزَاءِ وَاسْتِحْقَاقِ الْمَقْتِ. If he were then to abandon this study of his while in the state of violation, it would have been better for him and further away from mockery. You understand? يعني, he's saying the one who reads the Quran is more guilty now than the one who doesn't read it, because he's reading it and continually going against it. So when a woman is wearing her semi hijab and semi jilbab and the rest of the things, and she's reading Surah An-Nur or Surah Al-Ahzab, when Allah Azza wa Jalla is addressing the woman, فَلْيُدْنِينَ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ جَلَابِيبِهِنَّ أَوْ other ayat, وَلَا يَضْرِبْنَ بِأَرْجُلِهِنَّ لِيُعْلَمَ مَا يَخْفِينَ مِنْ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَى آخِرِهِ. And she's sitting there reciting it every Ramadan, huh? And then she goes out and does the opposite. It's she's going against her. Or a person reads, you know, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَا. مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَا. Leave riba. And his whole life is dealing with riba, and he recites this ayah between the salah and after the salah and between the adhan and iqamat. So this person now is almost like the book's like, who cares? Okay, the instructions are not important as long as I'm reading the Quran. Sheikh said, no, this is like a mockery and belittlement of the Quran. You're better off not doing it. What we're supposed to do actually is read it and implement it. We ask Allah to enable us to do so. The last couple of lines, وَيَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَتَبَرَّأَ مِنْ حَوْلِهِ وَقُوَّتِهِ. And you should also free yourself from your own ability, your own will and your own strength. Don't depend on yourself when you read the Quran. وَأَلَّا يَلْتَفِتَ إِلَى نَفْسِهِ بِعَيْنِ الرِّضَى وَالتَّزْكِيَةِ. And don't look at yourself being pleased with it and praising it. Oh, mashallah, I read the Quran X amount of times a day. Do you have ra'a or ra's? نفسه بصورة التقصير كان ذلك سبب قربه. My understanding is whoever then sees himself in the state of shortcomings, then this will be means for him to get near. As long as you belittle your deed, then you're actually getting to your destination. When you start admiring your deed, then you're far away. So one should not admire his deeds because it's all from the tawfiq of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Then, with this inshaAllah ta'ala, we conclude. Next class inshaAllah we'll be dealing with the book of the adhkar and the da'awat, the supplications and the remembrance of Allah. We ask Allah to make that easy for us. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمْ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ.